Chapter 15. How to Be Happy. Imagine you're reading a really good book of short stories, only to find that the last few pages of each tale are missing. Now imagine discovering that book's missing pages 2 decades later, and finally learning what happened to each of those characters you'd almost forgotten. That's pretty much what going to your 20th high school reunion is like. I went to mine a few years ago, and I came away from it having learned 3 very useful lessons. First, high school jock plus 20 years of drinking beer on the couch equals not very pretty picture. Second, while it's incredibly shallow to show off one's beautiful wife at one's high school reunion, making sure to introduce her to all the girls who turned me, oops, I mean turned one, down for dates, it's also really satisfying. The third thing I learned is that happiness does not always find the people you think it will. In fact, happiness is completely unpredictable. Standing among people I had known pretty well 20 years earlier, I was kind of shocked to notice that the folks who seemed to have it all didn't necessarily seem any happier than the people who you or I might think of as failures. Happiness was something people found or didn't, regardless of all the stuff that's supposed to bring it. The guys who drove to the reunion in Porsches were no more likely to be happy than the guys in 10-year-old minivans. How can that be when everything we see on television tells us that happiness comes from being the best or having the most? I wondered about that a lot, and then I looked up the word in my trusty dictionary. A feeling of pleasure, contentment, or joy. No mention of achievement, not one word about owning stuff. That might explain why Scott, a kid I used to ride my bike with, seemed so unhappy even though he now owns a pretty large company and lives in a house roughly the size of Rhode Island. His workday is a grind, he told me. He's always worried about staying on top of things. When I asked him if he still goes to the movies like we did in high school, he looked at me as if I just landed from Mars and said, "Who has time?" Scott has achieved pretty much everything he set out to, and it doesn't make him happy. PJ, on the other hand, never got any farther than the next town and lives in a house about half the size of the one he grew up in. He has 3 handsome little boys. They're easy on the eyes, but tough on the furniture, his wife told me, laughing. And though he works his tail off and still doesn't make enough money to take his family on fancy vacations, he may be the happiest guy to come out of Darien High, class of 81. I asked him what his secret is. I asked him why he seems so happy. He shrugged. "It beats being unhappy," he said. I had always thought of happiness as something we achieve, a goal we set for ourselves. If I can just get that A+, I'll be happy. When I can afford that watch, car, house, I'll be happy. If that woman falls for me, I'll be happy. Like most people, I thought happiness comes from getting the things you want. But none of those things ever worked for me, at least not for long. I talked my dad into letting me buy a little red Audi before my senior year of college, and while it was fun to show off for a week, it didn't make me happy in any lasting way. I got my own column in the college paper, and people would stop me on the street to talk about stuff I'd written. But being noticed brought only brief moments of satisfaction. No one thing ever seemed to drive away the doubts, disappointments, slights, and insecurities that made me generally unhappy.